Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to bring in our man, Bill Shanks. 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM Warner Robins, and South Central Georgia. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Y'all heard the Nationals lost last night, right?
Yeah, you know, that's what we wanted to talk about. Are the Nationals out of it? That's the question of the morning. By the way, it is funny that they are, what, now a game below 500. But
unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unreal. All right, let's get it going. Jose Urena, what do you think Major League Baseball should do to him?
I think they should suspend him for double digits, at least 10 games, maybe more, and to send a message of the old school baseball that I guess Keith Hernandez subscribes to is not in the best interest of the game, and that purposefully hitting someone in that manner because they're good and you're not is not acceptable. Buster Olney had a tweet this morning I kind of liked. It's like, you know, think of a pitcher had a no-hitter and the batter just started taking off out there to hit him because he was doing well and shutting his team down. It's kind of the equivalent of what Jose Urena did. He tried to shut down the player who had really single-handedly beat his team in the first three games of the series, and it was ridiculous. I'm old school as anybody I know when it comes to baseball, but a curveball, and I was actually in a restaurant in Macon, and we were not gambling and not taking bets, but we were like going around the table with a bunch of people trying to say, what would you do, what will happen, and so forth, and not anybody said he's going to plunk him in the shoulder or in the arm, forearm. So it was Bush League. Everybody knows it. I hope Don Mattingly wasn't behind it in any way, even to tell Urena, hey, brush this kid back. But that was unbelievable, and you just hope and pray that today when we get the word on the CT scan that it's nothing serious and that kid will be back in that lineup as soon as possible. But even to stop the momentum of what he had been doing for the previous eight games makes you just sick on your stomach.
Bill, it's kind of funny because when you're talking about something like this, you're obviously going to have takes coming from all different angles. But my whole thing on this is – you know, and I know this isn't part of the game, but, you know, a pitcher can sit there and purposefully throw a baseball 90-plus miles per hour to a guy, but if the batter were to turn around and fling his bat right back at him, you know, that would obviously be considered way worse. But then when you kind of think about it, why is it way worse? I just don't understand baseball sometimes and all these unwritten rules of players being able to do this kind of stuff, which, you know, having that take in terms of, like Keith Hernandez saying, well, you got to hit him, or, you know, other people having that, you know, similar takes of that, it just seems moronic.
Well, first of all, the unwritten rules stuff, Sam, I think is really overrated. I think it has nothing to do with unwritten rules. If the Nationals wanted to brush him back so he wouldn't hit a pitch on the first pitch of the game in the left field seats, I made the joke yesterday of maybe they'll throw it to the backstop like Bull Durham just so he won't hit the first pitch out of the ballpark. All right, do that. I also said, I don't even know if you can still call pitch outs these days because of the way baseball is. Do a pitch out. Do something funny. Do something like you're not going to hit the first pitch out. Throw a curveball. Throw something that's just don't hit him. That is a serious injury. And again, even if that kid is okay today, and if the reports are okay, he's not damaged, he's not hurt, he's bruised, he's going to hurt for a while probably. But even if he's okay and he'll be back to the lineup, let's say tomorrow or Saturday, you stop the momentum of something that was carrying this team. And that's probably something that, as the Braves wake up this morning, they're going to be really pissed. Now, they won last night, so that helps a little bit. But still, this kid's the main reason why they've gone on this stretch of 13-4 in the last 17 games. And if that comes to a conclusion or slows down and you wonder if it's because he got hit, you never know how kids are going to get impacted by getting hit in a baseball game. I mean, sure, they get hit all the time. And by the way, that was at Urena's fastest pitch of the entire season. But you never know. I mean, look at Jason Hayward. People wonder all the time about how he – I know it hit him in the face, but still, people wonder all the time about how he was affected offensively by being hit in, like, what was it, 2011 or whatever. You never know. So it's amazing. It's incredible that it happened. There were so many other ways to try to send a message of he's not going to hit first pitch of the game compared to hitting him in the forearm. And I hope Don Mattingly was not behind it, even to the point of saying, hey, Jose, vacuum off the plate. That's Bush League too, because it's amazing. I mean, I'm not in shock very much when I watch a baseball game, but last time when that happened, that was a shocking thing to watch, of them not even being professional enough to face that guy. Because another guy at the table, when we were talking about this is kind of funny. I was saying, all right, if I'm a pitcher, the first pitch, I'm not going to challenge this guy. I'm going to throw it outside. I'm going to pitch out. I mean, I'm almost going to be comical about it and say, there's no way in hell you're going to hit the first pitch out of the ballpark again. And a buddy of mine, he was like, heck no, I'm throwing it right down the plate. Hit it if you can, you know, challenging and be aggressive, but not like that. That was not being aggressive. That was being on purpose. You're not going to hit it because we're going to hit you. And that was just unbelievable.
Bill, settle something for us, because we've been saying that, you know, according to the rules of baseball, the consecutive games of the home run streak, that is still intact. If he hits a home run his next time out, then, you know, he would have gone, what, six straight games with a home run. But the streak of leading off the game with a homer has to be over, right? Because he had a plate appearance, he got hit, and he went to first base. So that's over. Okay, because some of our fans and people listening were like, no, that streak's still alive. It's like, no, because that isn't really like an official streak. That's an aesthetic thing, but that doesn't have any official like documentation, whereas in a hitting streak or hitting home runs in however many games, that does have like official status.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as far as I know, I mean, he had a bat. It's a hit by pitch, it goes on his OBP, so that's an at bat, right? I mean, it's not a
it's a plate appearance. It's not an at bat.
It's a plate appearance.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah,
that's the correct terminology. It's a plate appearance. So I mean, that number of a hit by pitch goes in his OBP. So yeah, that was an official plate appearance. So no, I think that settles that.
I mean, sadly, he led off the game getting hit by a pitch. That's what stinks about. That's what I was mad about. I wanted to see if he could do it again, and then Urena just took that away from everybody. And
David, I was in that restaurant, and I swear, not the entire restaurant, but a large portion of a packed restaurant on a Wednesday night in Macon, Georgia, was watching that first pitch. And I again told my folks at the table, I said, you know, this is the most anticipated first pitch in Braves history here as we were watching to see. Because everybody wanted to watch. I was like, I got phone calls all day on my show yesterday, man, I can't wait for 7:45. They were like, I want bottom of the first. I can't, because they wanted to see him hit. And then this son of a gun goes and hits him. Unbelievable.
Well, it's not even like he didn't even try to hide it. He plunked him obviously with the first pitch. He didn't even like throw a couple and then hit him.
No, right. I mean, it was, you are not going to hit a home run on the first pitch tonight, Cat. You just are not. It's not going to happen because we're going to hit you instead. And I just still think, Don Mattingly, I loved him as a player. Don Mattingly played for Billy Martin. David, tell everybody how crazy Billy Martin was.
Oh, yeah, he was a crazy manager.
Yeah, and he's old school as you can get, and I could see Billy Martin in that situation saying, brush him back. So I think he may have told Urena to brush him back. And that's one thing, but that wasn't brush back. That was that wasn't going out there and saying, I'm going to brush him back at some point in this at bat. I'm going to back him off the plate. I'm going to make him think about it. Look, that's what pitching's all about. I was talking to a pitching coach the other day. I was in Jacksonville and watching the Double-A team, and we were talking about a pitcher on his staff that hadn't hit a batter all year long. And he's like, you know, I don't want for anybody to hit a batter on purpose, but if they look up in your stats and August, and they say zero hit by pitch, you know, what are they going to think? Well, he's not going to pitch me inside.
Yeah.
So that pitching inside is part of baseball,
yeah.
You know, but not that. Not that.
Exactly. In fact, you know, when we're calling Georgia games, you know, and we look at the opposing pitchers coming in, we'll look at, like, hit batters, and if they've hit a few or maybe more than normal, we're like, Jeff and I are like, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. This is a guy that'll pitch on the inside part of the plate.
So, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what people are going to say a lot. You're going to hear a lot of things about, well, Bob Gibson, you know, Bob Gibson has been on the mound. And there's a Bob Gibson, and I wish I would have seen him because he was before I watched baseball. I would have loved to watch Bob Gibson pitch because he wanted for that hitter to know that that plate was his, not the batter's plate. And so he tried to claim that territory by pitching inside. I don't even think Bob Gibson would have done that last night. I don't know.
Bob Gibson would have been like, I mean, to me, I would like to think he would have thought, I'm going to get this guy out. He's not going to hit a home run off me. I'm going to get this guy out. I'm not just going to plunk. Now, if Acuna had tried to, if, you know, later on in the game, if Acuna tried to bunt his way on, Gibson might have given him one in the ear hole. But, you know, that's a different circumstance.
Exactly. And, David, if Bob Gibson had been in that game and Acuna had hit a home run in the first inning, might he have been brushed back or hit in the butt or hit in the leg or in the third inning? Yeah. Yeah. But like, you're right. Bob Gibson would not have said, well, this kid's hit three straight leadoff home runs. There's no way in hell I'm going to let him do that to me, so I'm going to just hit him. No. He would have said, all right, big boy, let's see if you can hit my stuff. Let's see if I can get you out instead of being a coward like Urena and hitting like that. He knew he couldn't get – and that, it pretty much tells you he knew he couldn't get him out, so he was going to hit him.
Hey, Bill, kind of lost in the in all this stuff with Acuna and Urena last night. Gausman gave the Braves another – good start. I think that's what he's given up three runs in, 14 innings, his two starts. How big is he going to be for the Braves down the stretch?
Oh, he could be really big. He's done well. He seems to have really embraced the statistical things that they told him that could possibly help him out. And, you know, the stuff is there. The kid can pitch. To me, David, he was kind of like Folty and Newcomb in that the stuff was there. He just had never gotten over the hump, and it was time for him to get over the hump, and they're going to see if he can. And if he can, that's great. They're going to have another really good young pitcher. And maybe if he can, they'll trade him because I don't know what they're going to do with him. But anyway, that's another story. But he's got great potential to be a very good member of a rotation and a solid starting pitcher. And, no, it's a shame that his performance, Dansby's performance, Minter getting another save, the Braves extending their lead on Washington all got kind of lost the shuffle. But no doubt, you're right, Gausman was very good last night.
You know, we were talking, Sam had brought up, where did you see that? There was some kind of poll about, well, Teron, if the Braves made the postseason, what was that thing about Teron?
It was like a Braves fan on Twitter. Just like, it wasn't like anything official, but they had said, you know, the poll was, will Julio Teron be a part of this postseason staff?
It's just like, man, that's how it's gotten for him. But, I mean, that's getting ahead of things since there's still a long way to go. But, you know, my question is, I know you get tired. I see on Twitter people ask you a lot about, you know, who's going to be in the Braves rotation next year, and we even talk about that too, and I know that's still a long way to go. But, you know, the Teron questions are, I think they're certainly legit, but at this point in the season right now, you got to worry about 2018 instead of 2019. I mean, wouldn't you say that's the case?
Oh, certainly. And, look, Teron it has got to get hot. He needs to pitch better. He needs to pitch more consistently. We all know that. It's nothing new. I said something yesterday about Teron, and I think it is true as far as the disappointment of Julio Teron. Why hasn't he gotten better as the team has gotten better? He's pretty much the same pitcher he was when they were not very good, which is inconsistent. Well, you know, why hasn't he gotten back to the point where he had an ERA near 3 in his first 2 years and they were good? That's the disappointment, I think, in Julio Teron. And right now, if you had to take your top three starters, he's not in it. He's number 4. And I think for next year, I think I told y'all last week, he's not in my, neither he nor Gossman are probably in my preferable starting rotation for next year. But he's still got to be a valuable member of this team for the last 6 weeks of the season because they need him. Whether he's inconsistent, has been inconsistent the first part of the year or not, for these last 6 weeks, they need him to step up and pitch them some big games, because even though they separate themselves from Washington, we know the games left that are on the schedule with good teams, including starting tonight. They've got Boston again. They've got obviously more with Philadelphia. They've got some really big games that are going to be coming up, and at some point there's going to be a big game on a Friday night in September where Julio Tehran's going to be on the mound, and they need him to pitch very, very well. So right now we have to hope that that will happen and he'll help get them in the playoffs, and then we'll see. I don't think he would be in my top three, but if they needed a fourth starter, they may need to go to him, and they would have to hope that a veteran that's been there for them and been their opening day starter would come through for them. But he's just so inconsistent, and that's what's so frustrating about it. But I'm telling you, he's going to be called on at some point, whether it's the end of this month, rest of this month, in September, or even in October, to pitch a good big game for him.
Hey, last night for Gwinnett, Bryce Wilson allowed one hit, didn't walk a batter, struck out 13 in eight innings. Of all these pitchers we talk about, this is a guy whose name hasn't even come up. Is this a guy who had just an extraordinary game, or is this a guy that that we need to kind of know a little bit more about?
Yeah, David, here's another one. I mean, it's crazy. The other day in Jacksonville, when I was there, and I was talking to some people, I asked three different people, the announcer, the pitching coach, and the hitting coach. I said, if I'm Alex Anthopoulos and I call you up and I say, all right, of the pitchers, starting pitchers who have been in this on this roster this year, give me two names of pitchers that I should not trade. All three of them said Tuki Toussaint and Bryce Wilson.
Wow.
And I think we're seeing why with Tuki with the first game, and we'll see him again at some point. But Bryce Wilson is a kid who was the fourth-round pick 2 years ago when they picked Ian Anderson and Joey Wentz and Kyle Muller, which is a whole other story with those three because they're unbelievably good, too, as a group. Bryce Wilson's kind of the other guy, the fourth guy. And he has been outstanding. He had probably the best year of all of them last year in Rome. Then started the year in Florida in high this year. Did so well, like in April, they put him up in Double A. Got his butt handed to him, David, which was good for him in Double A when he first got there to Mississippi. I mean, the pitching coach told me he walked into my office after the second straight game of getting his butt handed to him. It had never happened to him in his pro career. And he said, I don't know what to do. And the pitching coach said, I kind of internally smiled, and I said, okay, now we're going to make this kid a pitcher. He took in everything that they told him. He made the adjustments necessary. He dominated in Double A in the last four or five starts, and they said, we're going to send him to Triple A. And look what he did last night. I mean, it's another name we have to keep in mind. I mean, I saw on Saturday Kyle Muller, who was the third of those four pitchers drafted 2 years ago. And this kid was so messed up mechanically last year, they wouldn't put him in Rome. They kept him in Danville. This is a 6'5", 235-pound, big left-handed pitcher from Texas who somehow made it to the 40-point pick of the 2016 draft. He was the high school pitcher of the year, presented his award by Cole Hamels. And I don't know why he dropped, but he did. Well, I watched him on Saturday pitch his second game in Double-A. He pitched 5 2/3 only because his pitch count was high because he had 10 strikeouts. And it's like, God, I'm telling y'all, the organizations would die for two of these. The Braves got like 10.
Yeah, and at some point, some of these 10 are going to be on other teams, and it'll be interesting to see what they get for them. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
it's going to happen at some point. It's going to happen.
All right. Before we let you go, all right. So Braves and Marlins play again next week down in Miami. Do you predict any shenanigans?
I predict Don Mattingly's going to be smart enough to not let Urena pitch against them.
So the Braves are, I guess, it's not a retaliation type situation.
Well, Only against Urena. I think they'll only hit Urena. They don't need to look. Like somebody got on my Facebook page this morning and said, I'm really disappointed that one of the Atlanta bettors didn't punch his lights out. I'm like, look, they're in a pennant race. You think they can afford to get Freddie Freeman suspended for 10 days because he wants to go out there and punch Urena? No, they can't do that. It's important to have the games, the players on there. Tell you what I would do. If they face Urena, I would have my scheduled starter scratch the last minute, and I would put Luke Jackson out there to start the game. And when Urena came up, Luke Jackson would not pitch another batter after that because he'd hit him and got thrown out.
Freddie didn't really fly off the bench last night. It was kind of funny. It was like the old school, you know, the announcers and the coaches. They almost seemed like they were more fired up than the players last night. And by the way, I wanted to ask you this too. Snit takes a lot of grief over. A lot of people feel like he's like maybe not as emotional as he should be, but he certainly showed it last night.
Oh yeah, he was pissed. He was emotional in the post game. I don't know if you saw the post game. I mean, he was emotional. I mean, it really touched the nerve with him because, like you said, that's his kid. That's a 20-year-old kid that he's been entrusted to take care of, kind of like a father or grandfather would feel. And I wasn't surprised at all the way he reacted after the game. But boy, when I saw him go out, and when I saw him, especially the second time, when I don't know whether Urena or I thought it might have been the right fielder said something to him. I'm like, oh God, he's going to kill somebody. Because he was his face. I said, he's going to kill somebody. He's going to have a stroke right there on the mound. They're going to have a funeral on Sunday with him and bury him under the pitcher's mound or something. But God, he was hot. He was hot.
Bill, I'm really sorry, but we've run out of time, so I can't ask you about the Falcons. I know that bumps you out.
Why would you anyway? They are so irrelevant, Sam Franco. Who cares?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, Georgia
there
football
are.
In 16 days to play in first place, and and they got shut out by Sam Darnold. Come on.
We'll talk about the Falcons again when they score.
Okay, that's good. Yes. Yeah, that's good.
We'll do that. But according to Jalen Ramsey, they have an overrated quarterback.
That's right.
So what does it matter?
You know, I just got in a little while ago, and ESPN had a full segment on television going through each and everything that Jalen Ramsey said. And having someone analyze whether or not he was right or not. God, to be a producer on television, I yearn for it.
Oh, I'm just eating that up. Bill, you're the best. We appreciate it, my man. We will catch you again next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
All right. Bill Shanks.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.